everyone for being here. My colleague Chris Donde, and I were talking yesterday afternoon that we bet there would be 10 people here on the at the 8:30 session on the last day of the conference. So we're pleasantly surprised that we have a full room.
No, I'm not sure who can hold the crowd.
So anyway, thanks for being here on the last day of the conference. I'm going to talk a little bit about one piece of a larger project that we've been working on in the Office of Disease Prevention and Health Promotion, and that sits in the Office of the Secretary at Department of Health and Human Services. And we started this project as a research project, but also with kind of a hope that we would be redesigning our consumer-based website called healthfinder.gov. And HealthFinder is a portal website that links consumers to reliable health information across government and nonprofit sectors. So we review all the nonprofit websites and make sure people are linked up to information that's been vetted. However, as Google and Yahoo are obviously the search mechanisms of choice, the portal site has lost relevance in a lot of ways. And so we've been looking to define a new niche for healthfinder.gov, and part of that is how can we make the web more accessible to people who aren't as web savvy and who may have limited health literacy, because we see that as a gap, particularly in government websites. And our focus is mostly on prevention, so also focusing more on prevention and healthy lifestyles. The piece I'm going to talk to you guys about today is really about some of the lessons learned from that project that are very applied, about how you would apply some of the things that we learned through our research to website development and developing content, particularly around prevention, where you're trying to move somebody to action. What types of lessons that we learned. But another goal of this project and another consequence of this project is that we built a working prototype of prevention content that to be appropriate for people with limited health literacy. And when we say appropriate, we're defining that or operationalizing that as understandable, relevant, actionable, and motivating. So as you think about those concepts throughout. So establish an evidence base for communicating prevention information to limited literacy users. And what I'm going to talk about is some of those lessons learned in the 15 minutes I have here. So part of the rationale for this project, which is for why everybody is doing websites and moving their information online, is that people are expected to take more responsibility for their health. And there was a Washington Post article a couple weeks ago. There's a lot of information out there that people are going to the Internet. 80% of Internet users, in fact, are looking for health information online. They're using that to talk to their doctors. They're using that to make health decisions. On the other hand, for many people, the current online health information landscape creates a lot of stress. It's very overwhelming. If you look at any health information website, particularly, we'll take responsibility, the ones that that the government puts out, it's a lot of text, it's a lot of information, a lot of choices. It's difficult for many people to sort through, and not just people with limited literacy, but also people who may not have a lot of internet skills, and also people who don't have a lot of time to kind of sort through all of that. The other kind of rationale in terms of us focusing on prevention is the majority of health websites really focus in on treatment and diagnosis and conditions. So think about a WebMD model. It's about self-diagnosing yourself and kind of learning about condition and not as much really about healthy decision-making and prevention. Some of the guiding principles we use for developing the prototype and then also for kind of the subsequent guidelines or lessons learned that we got out of this project really revolve around three principles. One is usability, and that's the first principle, that things should be easy to navigate and use. That seems like a very simple concept, but it's not really... you don't see that when you go to websites. It's not usually very easy to navigate and use. The second principle is improving health literacy, and that means that people would be able to obtain, process, understand the information, but also take it to the next step. Can they understand and then translate that into some type of action or meaning for them? And then finally, behavior change and health communication theory. How can we be relevant and motivating for people? How can we inspire them to take action and increase self-efficacy? So it's kind of the synthesis of these three principles. I keep going backwards. Sorry about that. The evidence base we use kind of for developing the prototype and the lessons learned. First, we look to what was already in the literature. There are wonderful usability guidelines that already exist. There's health literacy principles, the Pink Book, making health communication programs work. Also, social cognitive theory, social marketing theory, health belief model. We took all of that into consideration as we were developing this. In addition, we did quite a bit of original research over the past 3 years, and it was really an iterative design process. And even what I'm going to show you today, we're still in iterative design. I think we're kind of constantly getting feedback, constantly improving what we're doing. At this point, we have worked with over 600 people between the ages of 18 to 64 over the last few years. This just gives you kind of a breakdown of some of the things that we did. We literally started with a literature review. Mental models research, we had people kind of making sense of what is their mental maps of prevention. How would they cluster information? How do they organize? And a big goal of ours is, can we help organize information for people in a way that really makes sense, that they can kind of, okay, this is what I need to know. And that we found that organization was so important to people. And so that was a lot of what we were trying to learn. And then lots of different usability studies where we were testing, tweaking, testing, measuring self-efficacy throughout, trying to improve what we had done before. We came up with not only a prototype of web content, but also a document that is kind of all of our lessons learned. And we're just going to focus on a couple pieces of this with our limited time today. One is the writing content piece of it, and then a little bit about navigation and site structure. And I did throw in one slide about tools. And again, all of this is from working with people with limited health literacy and kind of learning what do they need in a web-based model for prevention information. I'm going to turn it over to my colleague, Stacy Robinson, to talk a little bit about the writing content piece of it, because she helped us a lot with that.
So when it comes to writing, when it comes to writing personalized health information, I think we tend to think of more traditional audience segmentation and tailoring information to things like age, education level, race, gender. But we actually looked at user motivation for seeking health information and tailored our information that way. And we identified three segments of users, again, based on their motivation for seeking health information. The first is those seeking information about a problem affecting them or someone they know. The second segment was those seeking to find out if they have a problem or if they should be concerned about something. And the third segment was those seeking information on how to prevent the onset of health problems. And then we tested these three segments using card sorting and testing an early prototype of the website. And we found that these three segments worked. And one thing that we found in that early testing was, although these are distinct segments based on motivation, we found that users were shifting frequently between the different segments. So they were moving back and forth from I want information about a topic to should I be concerned to do I want to do something about it and what can I do. So they were distinct segments, but there were also a lot of movement in between the three segments. So the challenge was, how do we come up with a formula for presenting health information that addressed all three of these segments, but ideally was moving people towards action. And the formula that we came up with was behavior, benefits, and action. So we wanted to describe the behavior. We wanted to talk about the benefits of performing the behavior and then giving people really clear action steps on what they could do. And again, the idea here was to meet the information needs of all three of our segments, but ideally move people towards that final action step. Just a note about tone and style. I think there's a tendency in public health, and especially in government, to want to be extremely comprehensive and to give every possible detail and piece of information, and I think we're all guilty of that. But we know that's actually counterproductive when we look at health literacy, and also when we look at topics about prevention, because we have a less motivated user audience when we're dealing with prevention, because it's different than somebody who might actually have cancer who's seeking information. You're just dealing with people who maybe don't know if they should be worried about cancer, should they get a screening, so it's a different population. And then we are also really targeting limited literacy users, and we know that all of that extra content and context gets in the way of the message. And one other note I want to make on this slide is just that we also found it was important to acknowledge barriers, but not to dwell on them, to really keep the messages positive. So we took this small steps approach, and again, we were really sort of focusing on self-efficacy. And you'll see the first bullet, eat a diet rich in fruits, vegetables, grains, and low-fat milk products. That's already really clear and to the point and in plain language. But we wanted to actually give specific action steps and get more specific than that. So we gave people actual tips for when they were at the grocery store. And this is sort of analogous to what we found in some of the health literacy work around things like medication and drug labels. You know, we might say take twice daily, but what we found when we study that is that people actually don't know what that means. Do they take one in the morning and one in the afternoon, two in the morning? So it's sort of similar when we talk about prevention information. We want to be as specific as possible. And then we also really wanted to focus on this things you can do today concept. This example, I think, is from some content on preventing falls in the elderly. So really simple things, pick books and papers up from your stairs, wear shoes inside your house. So again, we were trying to focus on motivation, small steps, and then reinforcing that. One thing that we learned in some of our early user testing was that even when we were applying a lot of our great plain language principles and using white space, we found that actually users were skipping over pages like this. So really, if there was more than three or more sentences together, the text was too dense, and users weren't reading it at all. So we had to go back and make the content look closer to this, so everything was bulleted, and we used a lot less text. So that was one of the things that we found, again, through this iterative design process, so going back and changing it. I'm going to turn it back over to Sandy.
We don't have a lot of time, and again, we have a lot more that we could share, so if you're interested, you can come up afterwards, and we can share research or the whole document of things that we learned. Just talking a little bit about design, a big part of what we learned from users is that websites are very, when you see it, when you come up on a page and there's all kinds of choices, it's very overwhelming, and often people don't kind of continue into the site or say they wouldn't come back to the site. So it had to be a very simple entry point, just a few choices. People really gravitated towards a top five or kind of a way, helping people prioritize a way to think about things. Also, I didn't want to do an A to Z list because I thought, well, that's just a laundry list and that would be too much, but people really wanted to be able to browse by topic. And also browse, just as a sidebar, we are just focusing on prevention action steps, not on conditions and things like that. But people are still looking for conditions, even though they kind of get that it's about doing something to stay healthy. So in your A to Z's or things like that, categorizing behaviors by condition helps people make sense of that, even if you're trying to get away from that. And then we had a really interactive tool right here that you could enter in your age and gender. You get recommendations for you from the Guide to Clinical Preventive Services. So, for example, if you were a woman age 50, you may get mammography, calcium, some things like that. This is self-explanatory. All of our pages, minus a few, we stay above the fold. Many users who are not very web savvy, who have low literacy, don't pay attention to a lot of things around the text, and they don't scroll very often. Another thing is linear thought process. So again, they're not paying attention necessarily to all these things. They're kind of looking at the pages in a linear model. So give them the ability through, we did through tabs, and through telling them where they are. There's three pages in the section. This is where you are. And that was really important to help people kind of navigate and understand how much was there. Finally, I just want to throw in this little bit about tools. And that is, most websites you think of, to make them better, you have to put a lot of interactivity, a lot of cool stuff, a lot of flash. And that was just not the case for our population. We struggled with how can we incorporate tools. and they're not paying attention to lots of things around, so they needed to be sort of embedded and very immediate and relevant. So in the text, right away as you read something in context, okay, now that you know this, here's how you can count your calories using this tool. And then they would click on it because it was kind of in context and going through. But if it was kind of a sidebar or something really flashy, it was intimidating to most people. Or the My Health Finder tool that I just explained was very relevant, was right there. Only two things you had to enter in. People did gravitate towards that and use it. So that's the end of our time. I just want to end on some user feedback that we received. And, you know, I think the big thing about people were saying, I like it because it tells me what to do. And that seems counter to what we hear a lot, that, you know, you don't want to tell people what to do. And we didn't say you should do this or you're not doing that. But people needed somebody to help them prioritize, something to help them organize. So that was an important takeaway. Thanks.